Tonight, Celebrity Big Brother Recap is sponsored by Blue Apron. Tired of eating the same old slop? How about $30 off your first order of Blue Apron when you go to blueapron.com/Rob? It's the perfect food, even more perfect than beans, Meta World Peace. Pick out your meals. They come right to your door. You put it all together. You'll have a lot of fun with your family. $30 off your first order of a Blue Apron when you go to blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, better way to cook. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy whose butt is so bony, I may fall right off this chair, if only for my manageable testicle size. The only thing keeping me in place right now. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Very excited to talk about a Sunday night edition as we begin to discuss the Omi reign, as Omarosa has now taken on the title of head of household and has two nominations in place, and we're 24 hours away from a live eviction and yet another Big Brother twist. And we've got a great panel with us here today. It's the classic old school Thursday night panel from Big Brother 17, I believe. First, a man who not only is the winner of Big Brother 14, was recently featured on an episode of Big Brother and said James Maslow will rise from the ashes like a phoenix and is called his shot. Here's the great Ian Terry.
Thanks for having me. I wanted to take the risk on live TV and say James, and hopefully it works out.
Yes. Okay. And a man who is in danger of losing his first round pick, much like I did recently, the great Brent Wagamot.
And I couldn't be more happy about it. This house seems to be shaken up a little bit, and I'm happy to lose either Ross or Brandy if it does happen this way.
Yes. Okay. Need an exorcism.
Yep. Definitely need some work in this house. I'm glad O is in charge.
Yeah. And here we are, 1 week from tonight. Big Brother Celebrity is going to be over. It's going to be all said and done.
Yeah. How are they getting that many bodies out of there? Are we having a triple eviction night coming?
Oh, no. Shades of Kevin Martin, maybe. But no, I don't know. Actually, I mean, I think that the plan in my mind is pretty clear. Get down to 7 tomorrow night, perhaps a double on Friday night in the 2-hour episode, get down to 6 and 5, and then maybe lose somebody Saturday night. And then we get down to the final three in our Sunday night finale. So live Big Brother coming to you, not just tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Only Tuesday and Thursday, the only nights in the next week with no Big Brother. So a lot to do here on Rob Has a Podcast. Ian, so happy to have you back with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I don't even remember the last time that we talked. I think very early in Big Brother 19, right?
Yeah, we had it at some point during Big Brother 19. So always a treat to have you back with us, and a fun head of household to discuss. As Brent, I would have never thought Omarosa was going to be winning the wall competition.
I mean, just when you think you've seen it all, I was just absolutely stunned by this turn of events. I mean, I looked at this competition. I knew that it was an endurance competition. They had been advertising it on CBS. And when I saw that it was the classic wall, albeit a little bit modified with them sitting down, I still thought, looking at who is up there competing, there's no way that she could win this. And then it just happens. That's just like Taryn said on the feed show earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday. It's just classic Big Brother. The one person who everybody says, as long as they don't win HOH, we're good. And then of course they do.
Brent, did you feel like that Omarosa had an advantage? That was it potentially that Trump had Omarosa working on the wall prototype, and that was why she was so experienced with the logistics of the wall?
It's definitely a possibility, but I don't know if that was her area of expertise or not. I think she was doing outreach into the African American community. We know how well that went.
They're going to say outreach into the seat. That's how she was able to hang on there. Ian, that you've done this competition before. Did you think that Omarosa had a leg up on everybody, or did you feel like that the sitting down part of it really was a game changer?
You know, I would think that Omarosa would probably be one of the better spots for this because it's not even actually so much being small. It's just having a low center of mass, which she does have that, you know, that butt that we heard mentioned. So I figured this would be pretty good for her. The chair I thought would mix it up because Roman chair in like gym class is really difficult, but I wasn't too surprised.
Brent, the nickname that they call her, is it Oni or Omi?
Omi.
Okay. Yeah. Does she like that? Does she tell people call her Omi?
I've never heard her say, don't call me that. I think it ranks up there with Omarosa and Omarosa. Like, she answers to either one, sort of like I answer to Wulgamot or Walgamot or Wulgamuth or whatever the hell people say. But I know what the real one is, but I'm not, I just can't be bothered to care, Rob.
Brent, would you respond to Wogi?
Yeah, that's what they call me in the army. I was just, what's up, Wogi?
Yeah, you would think Omarosa would shut it down if she didn't like it. So she must at least have signed off on it. So here we are. And of course, we'll take your questions. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. Hashtag RHAP on social media or something new we are going to try in the chat. If you type the word question, colon, we'll try to pick that up. We'll try to get that in there as well. So if you're chatting along with us in the chat room, we'll take your questions as well. All right. So Omarosa ends up winning this HOH. And Ian, just overall thoughts on Omarosa. How about that?
You know, really, I'm impressed, actually. I think I had, you know, not so high expectations going in, but I think she's doing pretty well. I think she's doing well for herself. I think seeing her outlive Shannon, which I think, like, told me before the season started that was going to happen, I would be thinking that you were crazy.
Yeah.
She's doing well. I'm impressed.
Yeah. And Brent, she seemed to handle the, again, we're only talking about what we saw in the episode, not the live feeds yet, but she seemed to handle the responsibility of becoming the HOH pretty well.
Yeah, she did. She took her responsibilities very seriously. But this really isn't Big Brother anymore. I feel like we're watching. It's the Omarosa redemption show. She wants America to like her again. And you know what? I'm falling for it. I like her again.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
coming
mind
into this show, you know, I think back to our draft, Rob. Like, literally, we were like, it was like she had a deadly disease or something that nobody wanted to pick Omarosa during the draft. We're like, you know, like dump it on Taryn at the end so that he gets stuck, you know, having to take Omarosa. And now, like, I would take Omarosa in a second because I really do think that she has a shot at winning the game.
Ian, how much win equity do you feel like Omi has at this point in time?
Oh, let's see. There's what, 7 people in there now?
Eight.
So. There's 8 left. Okay. Well, she's going to be final 7. So, right. I mean, I guess she has at least her fair share percent-wise, if not more. So, I mean, like 19%, 18%?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I don't think that anybody ever doubted how capable she is. Incredibly smart person. And, you know, Trump, I feel like, would always say about her, she's a fighter. She's a fighter. That's why he liked keeping her around. But I just thought that she was going to be too toxic for this game. And I really felt like that test tube, being under the microscope in the Big Brother house. I just thought, Ian, I thought that she would boil over and crack in that house and end up having, you know, either whether it was orchestrated, a dramatic exit. I just thought that she would not be able to stand the pressure cooker.
Well, you know, I don't really disagree with you there, but what I will say is this. I think that if you saw this occur in like a 90-day season, I think I might agree with you. But given that this is abbreviated Big Brother and this is, you know, short season, I think it's a manageable amount of time. And you got to remember, she was on The Apprentice. That, although it, you know, it's a job competition, you know, you're trying to win over Donald Trump. There is that social aspect, especially that first season, where if you were not brought into the boardroom by whoever the project manager was, you could not be eliminated. So there was also that sort of alliance aspect, and she was very good at that.
Yeah. And Brent, really, since she's come back from the asthma attack, she has not had any sort of, you know, major blow up or incident in the house.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, you texted me privately and said, you know, what are the odds that we're going to see Omarosa come back? And I'm like, I don't think it's very high. I think there's a good possibility she might just hang it up and say, you know, girl, bye. But no, she stuck it out and she took her medicine. That was the thing. You know, the alliance turned their back on her. during week one. She's put on the block with her best friend week two, and she didn't self-evict. She didn't try any of that. She took it, and you know, now she's playing a whole new game.
Ian, what would be your strategy to come back and play with Omarosa in the winter season?
Oh, man.
I guess will you work with her?
I mean, I'm open to working with anyone. Let me put it that way. I mean, I will. I don't care. I mean, I will work with anyone. If you're okay with working with me, I'll work with anyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ian, we've been kicking around this idea on the podcast about this format for an all-star season. Do you think that that would be a smart way for Big Brother to go?
I actually do. I think that if you ever wanted to do, if you really wanted to do an all-winners thing, the abbreviated one is the way to go, because there's just no way a lot of us would ever sign on for that 90-day thing that they do now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that if you wanted to load up, you know, and do something with that, a short season would be pretty reasonable. A month is a lot more reasonable than 3 months.
Okay. Let's talk about such a big plot point from tonight, Brandy and the sympathy vote that she ended up giving for Shannon. She didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. Her alliance felt like it was a huge deal. Both or all three of Ari and Ross and Marissa all had a major objection to what she did. Ian, how big of a sin is it to cast that sympathy vote without clearing it with your alliance?
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's a huge sin, but I do know that it's probably going to be a problem if you don't clear it and then you immediately say it was you rather than trying to pin it on somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Brent, I was surprised that the celebrities got so upset about this. I felt like that in a season like this, I felt like that they were going to be like, oh, I totally get it. I totally get it. You know, you want to try to be nice to somebody that you're playing there with.
You have to remember, a lot of this reaction is going on, you know, as they're seeing Omarosa look strong up on the wall and afterwards. So it's probably not a big deal if Omarosa doesn't win. But now that Omarosa is up there and they're looking for someone to throw under the bus for any reason at all, it's huge.
Yeah. Everything is magnified in the Big Brother house, Rob. And what Ian says is true. Like, I mean, this was their worst nightmare was happening before their eyes, and they're looking to lash out and why is this happening? And let me take my anger out on somebody. And Brandy was the person who unfortunately got the raw end of the deal. On having said that, it wasn't very smart of her to do this. I understand why she did it. And, you know, I can't say that if I was in a Big Brother house at some point, I might do something stupid like this too. But I can't believe that she was so surprised that it wasn't a big deal to her alliance, because the only thing you have, like Steven always says on Know-It-Alls, you know, the only thing you have is your vote to show people where you stand. And when you do something against what the alliance had previously decided, it shows that you're untrustworthy, at least to them.
Brent, had you seen anything on the feeds leading up to this that indicated Brandy might be doing something like this for Shannon?
Well, previous to James winning the veto, there was talk about, okay, we're going to get James out. We're going to flip the script. We're not going to evict Shannon anymore. We're going to keep Shannon and bamboozle James. But then, of course, he blew that all the smithereens by winning the veto. And I know Brandy never had any like for James. We know this. And so I think she was a little bit bummed about not getting to evict him from the house. And I think that's where it emanated from and Shannon was a gutsy player. You know, whether you thought she was playing too hard or not, I think Brandy could at least identify with the fact that Shannon was playing hard all the way up until the end. And she just wanted to give her a little bit of a vote and cause a commotion.
I did love the moment in the episode where then everybody gets mad at Brandy. She storms out, and then Marissa and Ross and Ari sort of say, okay, we need her back on board. So they go talk to her, and she's like, you know what? I'm out of the alliance. I'm not working with you guys anymore. I'm like, no, we need you. And like, well, I thought about it. I don't want to work with you guys anymore.
Yeah. Like she's not begging to please don't kick me out of the alliance. Like, you know, they're like, no, we want you to be in the alliance. She's like, nah, I'm good. I'm out. See you later. Girl. Bye.
Yeah. We need you to come back. I want to talk about that deal that James made with Omi up on that wall, Ian. And so from James's perspective, and it's funny because we saw him try to strike a deal with Shannon on night number one. And Omarosa was like, oh, no deal. You don't get to make a deal. Yeah. And so she shut it down that time around. But this time she wants to talk turkey with James and make this deal with him. Ian, do you think there's anything wrong about the way that James played this in front of the group?
I think that if you were to take the, you know, the impending veto twist off the table, I think you played it just fine. I thought this is actually a pretty good play because, I mean, he's really living week to week. So, you know, anything that can get you another round.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that I was going to say was I remember listening to Ian when he was on Big Brother predicting James, if he gets past this week, he'll go all the way to the end. And I agreed with him at that time, but it hasn't happened that way. James's ride has been very, very bumpy. And it's so odd, Rob, because, I mean, he is a little bit of a weasel in the way he presents himself. But innately, I feel like he's pretty trustworthy. And he just wants, as Puya said on the feedback show, a few people just to love him. They just want to, he just wants people to love him and pet him and you know, give him a little bit of trust. He just wants a little, he wants to bro down, I think is what he wants to do. And not many people have been able to recognize that in the house. So I was all on board for the deal. I thought it was a little bit unique that he didn't really, at least from the way I saw it, he didn't really propose anything. He wanted to, but he waited for her to say something. And then he started talking about it because, he, you know, what happened the last time he started talking about a deal with her. But the thing that was really important to me was the fact that there were people who were watching, like Randy and some other people, who were I'm hearing some noise, by the way. I don't know where that's coming from. But there were some people who were actively rooting against him making a deal with Omarosa. And she was there to hear that. I mean, Brandy was one of the people saying, you know, James, hold on, don't make a deal. Which, I mean, if I'm Omarosa, I'm hearing that going, well, obviously you don't want me as HOH.
Yeah, don't piss off Omi.
I thought that was really a bad play on her part.
Yeah. Ian, how rough is that to be on the sideline saying like, hold on, James, don't give up, James, don't give up. And then to have the other person win the HOH.
That's definitely not ideal. I mean, I don't understand the rooting. That's kind of odd. I don't remember you you loudly root for anyone. That's not great.
Mm-hmm. So we ultimately see Omarosa end up talking to James about, okay, what does this new deal look like? And she ends up talking with James about this idea of her and James plus bring in Mark and bring in Meta. So basically it's something that looks like you have three of the guys and Omarosa and then the other three women in the house with Ross on the other side. And that seems like an interesting way for Omarosa to go. We've seen her talk a lot about with the other women in the house. Oh, I want a woman to win this season. Do you feel like that this is a calculated move on her part to go to the end with those three guys, sit next to one of them, and then end up pleading to the women to say, hey, remember we all said a woman was going to win this season?
That's right, because they do have the numbers advantage, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that makes sense to me.
And then also play on the, hey, you said a woman would win this season, and this is the era of Me Too, and we need to stand up, and whoever played the best game should get, and I played against you all.
Right. I don't necessarily think that this alliance that she's made, which I do think is a masterstroke on her part to bring these sort of disparate people together in Mark and Meta and James. I don't think that's going to hold. I think that she's willing to, you know, shuffle off anytime that it's convenient for her. But for the moment, it's going to hold. The question is, do those people in the alliance, do they want it to hold? Because that's what I feel like you have to ask yourself. If you're Omarosa, you know, can I trust James? Can I trust Mark to keep their word? Because the reason that she made this deal in the first place, as it was shown on the show, was that James was reluctant to vote out Ross over Brandy if placed on the block. And she was trying to make a deal with him. Like, look, what do I need to give you in order to basically have you turn your back on Ross? And for some reason, James trusts Ross. And I think a lot of it has to do with the gender imbalance, the fact that James is aware of the fact that there have been some women alliance shenanigans going on. And he might be the person who gets the short end of the stick if ending up with a woman in the final two. So he doesn't want to let another guy go. So this is a big step for him to let go of Ross. And that's why Omarosa had to make a bigger deal, because James, feeling safe because he had made this previous deal with Omarosa on the wall, felt like he was safe, and he felt like he needed more in order to basically get into bed long term with Omarosa.
Ian, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Mark, who we end up seeing have a conversation with Omarosa about how He's never gone against her. He's never been trying to get her out of the house. He gets included in on the deal. Do you see him as somebody who could be somebody in the end of the game that might potentially get some votes?
You know, I actually was just thinking about this. I think with Mark, I think he's been doing just fine so far, right? I think that he's been playing like that low key game and doing well with it. However, I feel that now that, you know, although it's a short game, the numbers are kind of getting down there to the nitty gritty. I feel like he's just expendable to everybody. And I think that he's not doing enough to put himself into a position where people need him, as opposed to, you know, he's just kind of there. I think he's just going to be like some random casualty, possibly twisted out, something like that.
Does he have your favorite player, Jack Owens, upside?
He does. He does have some Jack Owens upside. Yes.
Okay. That's pretty good, Brent. Jack Owens upside.
Yeah, pretty good. I worry about somebody like Mark in times like a double eviction. You know, you're always going to go with the person who is the least offensive to everybody. If you're under pressure and you don't want to make the big move, you're just going to say, okay, you sit up there, you know. I think that that would be his most worrisome time. Having said that, I do think that this is a total compliment to him, although it's not going to sound like it. I think he has made himself look and act pathetic enough where they wouldn't really want to waste an HOH on him. Even though he doesn't really have any strong allies, maybe outside of James, I do feel like that there's nobody who's really going to come for him at this point.
Now, the fourth person in this alliance is Meta World Peace. And Ian, if I had a chip to put on the table of who I think is going to win this game at this point, whatever the odds are, I'll put it down on Meta World Peace. I feel like his edit is OTTP. And every time we see him, it's only about, you know, you're saying what? Oh, how much fun is Meta World Peace?
You know, the only problem I have is I don't see him winning a jury vote. You think he can win?
Oh yeah. I think they're totally willing to embrace the absurdity of Celebrity Big Brother and crown freaking Meta World Peace as the winner of Celebrity Big Brother 1. I mean, I think like after they get basically after they get butthurt and they get evicted, they're going to go home. They're going to see what's been going on. We're going to see he's been pretty fun. Now, if they were sequestered, maybe not. I still think they would, though. But I do think, especially now that they're going to go home and vote and come back after they've seen some of the episodes and seen some of the social media feedback, I think that they're totally willing to get on board. And he's basically an inoffensive choice that would be very fun for everybody. And you can sort of just all celebrate it. Like, yeah, Meta World Peace, yeah, he won. Like, how crazy is that?
Yeah.
Having said that, though, I just want to make clear to everybody out there, because I've gotten this question from a few people. Is Meta World Peace a good Big Brother player, Brent? No, he's not. He's terrible.
Didn't even know the rules.
He's terrible. Hey. He cannot beg to go home.
Hold on, Brent. Hold on. When the LFC does their winner rankings in one of these very short Big Brother off seasons, will he be inside the top 15 Big Brother winners of all time?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like,
he's probably like 15, 16, right,
yeah,
Ian?
Yeah, probably 15 or 16. Like, see, but I think he's definitely even, like, I have Josh, like, I'm thinking around like 14, 13 or so. Like, I mean, he would be below him because Josh wasn't begging to go home, you know? And there's, you know, well, some of my peers don't think
he was sometimes.
That's true. And early on. First week when everybody's a little bit of a nervous now.
Like, this is like the first week.
I suppose. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But I really could see a major miscalculation from Omi in the final two, Ian, where if she gets down to it with Meta World Peace, I think that he would be a solid number for her all the way down the stretch. And I think if this final four did hold somehow, I feel like that Mark and James would pair off. She would have Meta World Peace, and I could see them making some sort of an end run together. And I think she'll feel like, if I sit next to Meta World Peace, I've got this game in the bag. And then the jury comes in and overwhelmingly goes Meta World Peace.
I mean, now that you guys are saying this, I think you might have sold me, because I think this is a little different than normal Big Brother. So I think that he's Mr. Fun Guy, you know, let him have it. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, be very interesting to see how it all ends up playing out. Brent, were you surprised that Omarosa went with Brandi as the nominee against Ross here? Because I felt like that once her alliance was trying to throw her under the bus, I almost felt like that it wasn't the best move to put Brandi on the block next to Ross.
No, I felt like this was the proper move, and here's why. Because Omarosa has good relations with Ari. She, you know, Ari didn't nominate Omarosa last week when she could have. I felt like Omarosa wants to show that her word is good and that it returned the favor there. So, and plus, she just personally has social relationships, social bonds better with Ari. So you look at the three remaining people. I've heard this so many times on regular seasons of Big Brother where you have a couple different pairs, and the house, as they're discussing what the HOH is about to do, says to themselves, well, they're not going to put, you know, one from this pair and one from this pair up because then they'd have four people mad at them. Why would they do that? But I think it was the absolute right move and the move that I think should be made more often because these people are all coming after you anyway. They don't like you. Obviously, if they're thinking about you putting them up on the block, that means you're not in their immediate alliance future. And two, it gets friction happening against each other. So, you know, now that Ross and Brandi are nominated, Marissa, who's with Ross, is worried more about Ross, and obviously Ari's worried more about Brandi. That foursome is going to quickly become two twosomes. And if you're somebody like Omarosa, that's what you want to see happening in the house right now. So I love it.
Ian, do you think that was the right call?
I didn't mind it. I thought her nominations were pretty solid. I think that she upheld the deal that she made. And I feel like, I mean, if Ross is your target, I felt like that was the way to go.
Ian, can you talk a little bit about the job that you thought Ross has been doing this season?
You know, right when I was out there filming on stage, I was loving it. And then he won HOH and that seemed unnecessary to me. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's just been all downhill from there.
Yeah. And would you say that this is the first time we're watching this short game play out. Do you feel like that the regular Big Brother rules, probably apply where you want to sort of lay low until about like around this point in time? Are we at the point where you should come out of hiding?
You're getting to it. Yeah. About seven or so people left. I think it's the number of people left as far as that goes. Yeah.
Okay. And we're at that magic number of seven where things traditionally really ramp up in a regular season. So we have the veto competition being played out live tomorrow night on the show. And we have a twist involved with that. And we'll talk about the twist in a moment. But Ian, do you like the format of having the veto play out live and then have that decision-making power? Or do you think that the game would be more exciting if we sort of had the veto today and then had a day or so to marinate on what to do with the veto?
You know, I actually think that I kind of like the campaigning rather than the instantaneous veto. I think that that's kind of something that's important. And this format, I guess you could call it, kind of loses that, especially with the veto twist. I feel like there's way to like strategize with this, but I feel like any decision that's made will be made in haste because they're not even allowed. Like there's no way to prepare for this.
Yep.
But one thing that's important to note though, is that regular Big Brother, usually like they make nominations the night of, and then the next morning, you know, at 1:00, they're out in the backyard playing a veto competition. So the initial nominations don't really have much time to gel. Not so this time. Omarosa made her nominations like a day or two ago, and we have to wait until tomorrow for the veto to be played. So all that friction that she wanted to happen between Ross and Marissa and Brandi and Ari, that's had a lot of time to marinate, and I think that's going to pay dividends for her.
Okay, so Brent, we have this America's Choice or the Big Brobot vote here on this veto, which is going to potentially shake things up during Omarosa's reign. First off, are you mad at Big Brother for putting this veto in here that America gets to vote on?
I mean, Big Brother's going to Big Brother. That's just what they're going to do. So, I mean, like you have to expect that something like this at some point was going to come up. I am pleased to say that I feel like they haven't interfered with the game as much as I thought they were going to. I thought for sure America was going to have a vote at some point. I thought for sure America was going to crown the winner. So I'm glad to see that that's not happening, at least as far as I know. Having said that, I feel like they did provide an out amongst the three choices, if you're trying to keep the game as stable as possible, if you enjoy Big Brother, like a pure version of Big Brother as it stands. And so I'm at least grateful for that.
Ian, have you come out and endorsed one of the veto options?
No, I don't really care. I just
Do you know what they are?
I do know what they are. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I do know. So you got the diamond, you got the VIP veto, which that basically can be either 2-1 or none.
Right.
And also I noticed that they added it so that you can save the replacement nominee, which is good because I did quite a lot of bitching about that in Big Brother 14.
Take us through that. Wait, what are you talking about?
I know what he's talking about.
I had two vetoes, but like I could only save one of the nominees, but not a replacement nominee. And I was forced to go first. So I was kind of like, well, if the order was different and it played differently, it's a different scenario. Right. So there was that fact, but right. I like that you can do that.
Ian had what was called the second veto that was released into the game.
But so, I was made to go and use it first.
Right. So he should have been allowed to go second. And if he did, then once Jen, or was it Jen? Once the veto happened and then Brittany was placed on the block, he could have saved Brittany and vetoed her off the block, but Big Brother wouldn't allow him to veto off a replacement nominee.
Okay. All right. So
nice little rule patch there, which is nice. Then last one. So the diamond plays as the diamond always has, and right. Spotlight is basically just forces them to use it, which if the nominee wins, that's basically nothing.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a weird thing to get people to vote on of, yes, oh, I definitely want whoever wins the veto to have to use it, regardless of who the person is that wins the veto. I just like the action. Just like seeing the power of veto get used.
I suppose. Having said that, though, Rob, whoever's running James Maslow's account really needs to take a seat. Because they don't know what they're doing.
Like Omarosa?
I told people. Oh, no, Maslow.
Okay. All right, hold on. Brent is going to speak to the Maslow army. Okay. This is a special address of Logie to the Maslow army.
Okay. If you want your boy to stay in the house, all right, if you don't want him to be evicted on Monday night, vote for the spotlight veto.
Right.
The only way that he gets on the block is if the power is not in Omarosa's hands. And if you want to keep the power in Omarosa's hands, the best way to do that is by choosing the spotlight veto. It doesn't matter if the veto's used. So what? Ross might be vetoed off the block. We don't care about that. We just want to make sure that that foursome is broken up somehow. If Ross is taken off the block, Marissa will go up. And I think there are a lot of people that would be happy to get rid of Marissa. She's just like... just vote for the spotlight and listen to me.
Okay. What is the Maslow army recommending people do? Are they not picking a side?
I believe they're talking about the VIP veto, but that could cause problems.
Well, isn't it because isn't James Maslow a very, 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 very important person?
I suppose. But again, if he does YouTube stuff and his views are whatever. So, if the VIP veto, and let's say Ross is vetoed off the block and you name Marissa as replacement nominee, now they can also veto Marissa off the block. And now who are you going to put up? Are you going to break your deal with Ari if you're Omarosa and put Ari on the block? That's what she would need to do, but I'm afraid she might not do that. She might put up Mark on the block. And now what happens? Mark goes home. So again, spotlight is the correct choice. And I really don't think anything more needs to be said.
Ian, were you a fan of Big Time Rush?
I actually had never heard of it until recently. My students, though, like they're I will say this, like they were all like, "Well, I heard James is going to be on there. Well, if he gets voted off, that's when I'm going to stop watching."
They're on a first name basis with James Maslow.
Apparently, his last name on the show is different. That's all. That's what I've taken away from it. So apparently their characters' names are different on the TV show. It was a show on Nickelodeon, I think. Mm-hmm. So they just are like, oh, James. Oh, yeah, James from Big Time Rush. So, yeah.
Brent, I want to talk about the nomination ceremony where Omi got up in front of the group and she gave her speech and put Ross and Brandy up on the block. She talked about how Ross put her up on the block. Brandy also went against the house, and that was why she had to go up on the block. But we had a couple of moments at the end of that where one, Ross got in there, like, and that's how you let somebody finish, which a little catty.
Oh, very catty. Yeah. Very catty. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, let's be real. Yeah.
But then there was a wink friend, and I want to know if you could explain the wink to me. Was that a wink to Marissa after the nomination speech?
I guess it was. That's how the House is interpreting it. I cannot explain the wink myself. I don't know what it meant, what it was meant to be, if it was just random or if she was trying to say something to her. I can only assume that Marissa's bad campaigning on behalf of trying to save Ross, because again, Marissa's going to people, I want Ross out of the House. What do I need to do to make that happen? You know, Marissa just like, well, we can get rid of Mark. Like, Mark's like, you know, you wouldn't get any blood on your hands if you evict Mark. Of course, you know, Omarosa's antennas are going up like, oh, like, you really want to save him, obviously. So I think she might have been winking at her like, you know, hey, you guys didn't fool me. I really knew what was happening. Just to be clear, though, that nomination ceremony that we saw on the show was not the full extent of what happened. Omarosa had accused Ross of making deals with every flipping person in the House, having final four deals with multiple people. And so he got really, really, really offended by that. And I'm sure we're going to see repercussions of that at the beginning of the next episode.
But isn't he making final four deals with everybody in the House?
Yes, he was getting mad about something that was totally true. Like, he was like, okay, you know, like, Omarosa, why did you do that? And she's like, well, you know, honey, it was just for good TV. That's all it was for. And he's like, well, you know, these people should, everybody raise your hands if I have not broken my word to you. Of course, like, I'm thinking everybody should raise their hand because he's had deals with everybody. He's thrown everybody under the bus. He's thrown Brandy under the bus. Again, they did not expect Brandy to be the nominee. They thought it was going to be Mark. They thought, last I heard, it's going to be Ross and Mark up on the block. Everyone was going to say to Omarosa's face, we'll vote Ross out. But once the nominations were in place, they were going to vote Mark out of the House and keep Ross. Obviously, Omarosa was onto them, and that's why they're a little bit annoyed about the fact. That's why Ross was catty at the end of the nomination ceremony, because he thought he was going to dodge a bullet. He wasn't really too worried at all, because if Mark goes on the block with him, he's got the votes to stay. Now he's thinking, maybe I don't have the votes to stay.
Ian, one of the things that is in the chat right now is the idea of that the wink was Omarosa's way of trying to sow division among the people that were on Ross's side of the House. Do you buy that?
I don't. That's not how I took it. If so, then very smart of her. But I don't think there was that much thought in there.
Yeah. I was like, this is like fan fiction to me. I don't know that. Not that Omarosa isn't smart enough to do that. And not that she isn't calculating and not that she hasn't been a great HOH thus far. But I don't think that something that subtle is something that she would do. But maybe we'll hear tell about it in the diary room.
Oh, I think it's tell about it in her book, because Omi's got a story to tell. It's coming soon. Ian, have you pre-ordered Omarosa's book?
No, I have not. I have quite a long list of books that I need to read.
Yeah. Okay.
Towards the bottom.
Well, I love it though. She's a hustler, Rob.
She's a hustler.
This is her time, and she's going to turn her life around.
This
and get
is
people to
my
like her
time.
Again. And you know, she's talking about working for Hillary.
Yes. Well, let's talk. We're going to get to your questions in a second, but let's talk for 60 seconds about that, Brent. So, Omi worked for Hillary. And she was
waiting for Hillary. Yes.
Yeah. Was it waiting for Hillary or ready for Hillary?
Well, I think it was actually waiting for Hillary. We were waiting for Hillary.
And it was a little bit of a scam. I thought she was going to call her Crooked Hillary. And what happened? They laid off people. Is any of this true? Like, do we have any? Can we Google this?
Elements of it are true. The people who were part of waiting for Hillary, some of them did get rolled over into the Hillary campaign, but also she did not use all of them. And so many of the diehard Hillary people who were, you know, begging for her to run, they were just shuffled off and said, thank you very much. You know, make sure you vote for Hillary and girl, bye. So I think that's, I don't know exactly how much, you know, impact Omarosa had in terms of the waiting for Hillary club or mailing list or whatever. But I do know that there are elements of truth about what she was saying. And I did note on a previous podcast with Taryn that up until, like, I think 2016, Omarosa was a registered Democrat. Mm-hmm. So she's not totally being untruthful.
Ian, should Omarosa have put Hillary up on the block this week? That, Hillary, you gave me your word. You said you had a place for me. You would keep me safe, but you didn't. You went back. It was a bit of a scam. And now,
the only thing that I was thinking watching that segment was, where she's like, "Oh yeah, it was a bit of a scam." I was like, "Ooh, it just seems like, you're opening yourself up to, you know, possible legal issues there."
Oh yeah.
By the way, Rob, I love your Omarosa impression. It's one of my favorite.
I have a sore throat today. It's extra Omi. Okay, take some of your questions. All right, here we go. Let's start with the Melissa bot. And the Melissa bot, I feel like that often is mistaken for Melissa. And I think that the Melissa bot could do a better job of saying, hey, I'm not Melissa. I think this is just putting that out there. Melissa bot says, who is Ian's QT American 3.14 this
season? Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, sorry. It took me a second. What is that?
That makes sense. I mean, I guess Ari, I mean, that's just by process of elimination, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Ari. She's gorgeous. She's so beautiful inside and outside. I mean, wow.
Really? Yeah. Very attractive.
Okay.
Boring answer. Sorry.
All right. Mark Rich, Ian, how do you feel about celebs whining about 48 hours of slop?
I don't know. I feel like they're kind of catching a little bit of a break there, but is there a lot of whining? I haven't really been keeping up with the feeds. I've been busy lately, but, I mean, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. They're more whining about their gastrointestinal issues. And even though you saw the people who weren't on slop were trying the slop, James has tried a little bit of it. And he's cleared the room a few times, I've noticed. They're not loving it.
Okay. Ian, do you think they made the slop not as gross for the celebrities? Is that possible?
I don't think that the U.S. version slop is gross anyway, so no.
Okay. All right. They didn't take it easy on them. Okay. Robbie wants to know, if Brandy just blamed Meta for casting the Hinky vote, would anyone have even questioned this at that point? I liked what Meta was very involved in that conversation, Brent, about the Hinky vote. And Brandy asked, like, was it a smart thing to do that? Was that a bad thing? And even Meta was like, well, it wasn't a smart thing to tell us about it. He's picking it up.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that was something that I think she would like to have back. Like, if she could go back in time and redo that, I think that this shows, though, like, it really wasn't a well thought out plan on her part. It was just something compassionate that she was doing or thought she was doing for Shannon. I've actually read Shannon's exit interviews, and she's like, that, you know, sympathy vote isn't going to have any impact on me voting for Brandy to win Big Brother or not. So, I mean, it was totally for nothing. But you can tell that Brandy didn't think this all the way through, and it was just something that she sort of did spur of the moment, and her gameplay subsequent to that showed that it was not very well thought out.
Brent, could you speak to Shannon's state of mind in the exit press? Did you feel like that she came off bitter or had accepted what happened to her?
Accepted what had happened to her, realized that she played a little bit too hard. I say this all the time, and I really do believe this. You can only go into the Big Brother house and be who you are. You can't be anybody else. And Shannon, for lack of maybe it wasn't the right plan, but that's who she is. She has to play the game Vanessa Russo style, 100%, you know, guns a-blazing. And if, you know, maybe if things, a few things go a different way, you know, if James doesn't win that veto, I think she stays in the house. Yeah, I really think she's got a shot to win because she's, you know, James is out of the house. She's not in a pair anymore. There are all these other pairs and Shannon's by herself. I think that her target would have gotten smaller. She got a little unlucky there with that veto win. So nothing you can do about it.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Stacked. Wants to know, what percentage does Meta have of winning? I'm thinking if he's final two, he wins unanimously against anyone. All right. So instead of the percentages, let's just go through people that can beat Meta in a final two. Okay. We'll keep going until we can't think of anybody else, Ian.
All right. Ari?
Ari.
No, I think Ari can totally beat Meta. I think Ari can beat Meta.
These are people that would win against Meta in a final two.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
Ari. Yeah.
Okay.
Ari and I think Omarosa probably wins against Meta. But that's very unsure about that one.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I think if James is there and he can sell that he's been on the outs the whole time, I think James could win. I also could see Mark winning against him.
I can't agree with either one of those. I don't think that this jury's going to vote for the punk, you know, white 23-year-old or whatever, however old he is, you know, guy with a YouTube channel. There's no way they're going to vote for that little weasel.
What about Mark, though?
I think he's been, as I noted previously, a little bit too pathetic in order to get a win out of this game. And I don't know that they're really willing to throw the money or the, you know, the title at somebody who has really hung back and willing to be a pawn star, has admitted to people that he's when the worst thing he ever did, by the way, was tell Ross that he was actively throwing HOH competitions. He told Ross that. I didn't actually listen to your show with Taryn, so I don't know if you, I'm sure Taryn probably noted that, but that was abysmal gameplay. I mean, like, it's one thing to throw competitions. The point of throwing them is to appear weak. If you tell people that you're throwing them, then they know you're not weak. Come on. So I don't know. I think that nobody's going to look at him and go, you know what? I was out here taking bullets and he was hanging back, letting us do all the dirty work. I don't see any way that that Mark's going to win the game.
Yeah.
So I would say R and Omarosa.
No, I think Omarosa would lose to Meta World Peace.
I don't know about that.
I think that she can. Well, look, she's been very convincing in the house. I think that she could get people to come back to her side by talking about the, you know, we originally wanted a woman to win this, and I'm here in the finals, and this is what we all talked about, and you know, you want to do right by, you know, what we decided, America. And I don't know. I'm sure she can spin it in such a way where it makes them feel like they need to vote for her or that they want to vote for her. I think she could even Jedi mind trick them into thinking that that this is what they should do. And it might work.
I don't know. I think every single person that leaves ends up leaving with a bad taste in their mouth about Omarosa. I think that Shannon is also one of the people that would, you know, be pushing for Meta over Omarosa. So
yeah, I heard that. I think so. She was just evicted, though.
And she loves Meta World Peace, though.
I guess. Is she really going to, like, she's going to be in social media. People are tweeting, like, girl, like, I'll tweet her, girl, are you really going to vote for the guy who's begging to be evicted? Like, who didn't even, like, know how to vote, who was more concerned about his Valentine rather than playing the game? That's who you're really going to vote for? I mean, I don't know if she'll listen to that or not, but she should.
Ian, if it came down to a Meta World Peace and an Omarosa, do you feel like that the people that really love the game, do you feel like that in some ways it's almost like, yeah, that's, of course I didn't win. Look at how crazy this was. Meta World Peace won as opposed to Omarosa was, she outfoxed me.
Well, you know, I would say that every jury is going to be different. So, I mean, it's tough to say, but I mean, I think that them going home and being able to watch is that actually really changes things in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw Stacked in the chat room saying that she told Meta that he has her vote, but I also know that Paul was told by Alex that Paul had Alex's vote during Big Brother 19, and we know how that worked out. So that's not always a given, Stack.
Okay, let's keep going. Den Dollar, did Omi make the correct nominations to get Ross out? Wouldn't Ross and Marissa have been a more certain pair if then? Brent, could you speak to the thought of not putting Marissa on the block?
Here's the thing. I think that if the goal is to get Ross out, then it's probably best to put Ross and Marissa on the block. I agree with that. Okay. However, if you want to cause the most friction within the alliance and reap the benefits of that by chancing whether or not you may or may not get your way as far as getting Ross out of the house, then I feel like the best nominees were the ones that she did, which was Ross and Brandy. Look, she may not, Omarosa I'm talking about, she may not ultimately get Ross out of the house this week. If James, who has continually had a soft spot for Ross, if he decides he wants to save him, Mark wants to save him, if they're concerned about the gender imbalance in the house, then maybe they go back on their word. Maybe, I don't know what they're going to do, but they might. But at least she's caused some friction between this group and potentially gotten them to break up. And even if Ross doesn't go home, then that means that Brandy likely did go home. And if that happens, then at least the foursome is now a threesome. And one of those threesomes, Ari, is somebody that Omarosa has a good working relationship with.
Okay. Let's keep going. This is from Adam, who says, if Ari was ready to bail on Brandy, why would she not go to Omarosa and try to work out a deal for either Ross or Marissa? It seems like Ari really missed an opportunity for almost a guaranteed final three. Ian, would you like that kind of move for Ari?
So say that again.
Should Ari have cut a deal with Omarosa once she realized what Brandy did?
I think that she's been working pretty smoothly without that too. I don't think that she's really in danger this week, so I don't see why she should, you know, stick her neck out and take that chance. I mean, I think that Omarosa probably would like to see her around for a good while anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I see where the question's coming from. Basically, the question's wanting to know, like, you know, yeah, sure, she was safe and she knew that, but shouldn't she have taken that opportunity to, you know, to be a little bit more greedy and try to lock in a final four or final three with Omarosa? I don't think that Ari needed to do that at this point. And I don't know that Omarosa would have bought it even if she had. So I feel like that the way that Ari played it was just fine. Ari's really been illuminating as a player as far as I'm concerned. She's just right. You know, she's not too strong, not too weak. She's just right in the middle about how much to campaign for people, how much to talk to people, how much to promise people. I really like her gameplay.
Okay.
I agree. I actually think that she's doing probably the best so far.
So far, so great. Okay, Dominic wants to know which house guests are playing the best social game this season. Do you think that the social game matters in a short season or making big moves? Ian, do you want to put a finer point on this and try to pick out who has the best social game this season?
I think Ross is doing very well with that, right? Like, I think that he's kind of like...
Still?
I think so. I mean, he could actually stay. He could win a vote this week, especially against... Randy, if these moms stay the same, that's not really outside the realm of possibility. I think that Ross is kind of getting caught a little bit, but he is gelling well with everybody. And that's what I think that he's done a really great job of.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with Ian that Ross hasn't been playing perfect. He's gotten busted a few times. His game is a little messy, but it's still a strong game. It's a strong, messy game. And I would rather a strong, messy game than a weak, you know, neat game, and it's very fun to watch, and he's all over the place, but it does seem like he has good enough bonds with some of the people in the house to maybe survive a vote this week.
Okay. All right. This is from Teeny Ween, one of our top commenters. Was Brandy Glanville concerned with jury management when she voted to keep Shannon, or was her vote not motivated by game strategy at all? I mean, I feel like it was both things.
I don't think she cared about jury management. I think it was more she felt bad.
Yeah, I agree with Ian. I think that she wasn't really thinking very much. She just maybe felt a little bad after listening to the speeches there when they were pleading, and decided, you know what, I'm just going to throw her a vote. I'm sure it won't be a big deal with my alliance. They'll understand. But she definitely wasn't thinking about jury management, I don't think.
Okay, let's do one more question, and then we'll go to the live feeds. This is from Christian R. Omarosa's nominee's great, or should she have backdoored Ross? Brett, what would you think about if Ross is the target using the backdoor, or was the veto twist too volatile this week to attempt something like that?
I think that the latter is true, that the veto shenanigans going on this week were such that she just needed to be a little bit more straightforward with her nominees. Put two people on the block. She's happy if either one of them go. Like, I know Ross is her target, but she still wouldn't cry a tear if Brandy ended up going home. And I feel like that this is probably the best way to play it.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, I want to just say that, you know, when you're at eight people and six people are playing, the backdoor option does not. You gain very little from that at this point.
Okay. So here we are. We're ready to get into the live feeds. If you are leaving us now, we will be back in 23 hours time to talk about who goes home Monday night. We'll be maybe discussing what's happening on the feeds with a new HOH is going to be crowned on the final week, the last 7 days of Celebrity Big Brother. But now, let's talk live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. Live feed time. Okay. All right. All right, Brent. So this episode got us pretty close to where we are. Basically, that was like, 6 o'clock last night was when we got the nominations. But 24 hours have passed now since then. What's the latest?
The latest is that James just can't leave well enough alone. That's the latest. My irritation with him has grown to a point where I wanted this foursome to at least hold for a week. But at this point, first of all, he's an idiot in the house, and his fans are idiots on the outside of the house telling people to vote for something that they shouldn't be voting for. So if he ends up going home this week, then I don't care. I'm kind of over it this week. He is still, as I alluded to, thinking about trusting Ross, and I don't understand, and maybe Ross will keep his word this time, who knows, but Ross is such a gamer, and his word has been shown to be so poor that I don't know why you would trust him. He doesn't have a great relationship with Omarosa. That's the problem. James and Mark talking about maybe we should keep Ross this week. We should go against what Omarosa is wanting us to do. Then they said, you know what? We should go talk to Marissa and Ross about it. And they decided, you know what? Wait, we shouldn't probably do that because then Marissa and Ross might squeal to Omarosa and then she might put one of us on the block if we get busted. But then they couldn't keep their mouth shut, even though they decided that like an hour later, they're talking to Marissa and Ross about possibly making a final four or final three deal. That, and here are the people who would have to go out of the house in this order: Omarosa, Ari, Meta. I think that was the order. And this would be the new final whatever. And believe it or not, Ross and Marissa are at least entertaining this sort of final four deal. And to me, it seems very flimsy because even though they're saying that they can entertain the idea, Marissa's like, well, I don't feel great about leaving Ari in the dust because she was part of our alliance. And Ari's still going to be there. I feel like they'll still go back to Ari. So I feel like that this is terrible. The thing that is most concerning to Mark and James is the gender imbalance in the house. And by that, I mean the fact that the women have decided early on that they wanted a woman to win the game. And James and Mark do not want to sit next to a woman in the final two. They think that the only way they can win is to sit next to a man, and that man is Mark. I'm sorry, that man is Ross. So they want to keep him in the house to potentially sit next to him in the final two. But the problem is twofold. Number one, I think it's a terrible move. Number two, even if they're sitting next to Ross, I don't think they win the game. So they haven't gained anything by keeping him in the house.
Brent, I want to go back to what you said about the Maslow army and how they don't know what they're doing. Have you considered, would you offer your services to come on to the Ready for Maslow campaign like Omarosa was going to do for Hillary until they let her go? Would you come on and be a consultant for them if they asked for your services?
I would be willing to entertain it. I will say to their I'm glad they did this. Their Instagram has been updated to reflect the fact that they should be voting for the spotlight. Mm-hmm. But Rob, it was such a shit show because originally they were saying that they wanted everybody to vote for the VIP. And then they had the bright idea to say, you know what? We changed our mind. You need to split the votes between VIP and spotlight. So that which is, of course, a terrible idea on its own. And that might cause Diamond Power veto.
In fairness, that there is some talk that there was a troll army that was putting out misinformation for the Maslow campaign. They've shut that down. It's not happening anymore. And as Brent's agent, I would like to say that Brent's not going to do it for free. He wants a black and white Maslow softball tee.
Thank you.
That's what he will require. I'm not buying another one. Okay. That's it.
It's very frustrating if you're a fan, but I still feel like the house is very uneasy at this point. I mean, Ian, these guys have been playing and they're not slowing down.
Well, I mean, it's tough to not slow down when I think the accelerated pace is really why we're seeing that. You know, there is no Sunday, you know, or Monday through Thursday, you know, that 3-day like lag period. Yep. You just don't have that.
Yeah. Ian, how do you think we're going to get the reveal of the whatever veto America has chosen? Will it come out before we play the veto? Do you think that someone will win the veto and then they will learn what power they have like on the spot?
That's actually, I think, really interesting because it changes how one should play, right? The actual veto competition itself. I would hope they would say before the veto.
Right. However, I believe they said that. Didn't they say that?
I feel like they said they'd give them more details before the veto, but
okay.
I have a feeling that it might be these are the three it could be, and then they'll only find out after. I have a feeling they're going to learn after the actual winner is determined.
Okay.
All right. And then if, Brent, the veto, for whatever reason, is not used, and then it's Ross and Brandy up on the block, how is the vote looking at this point?
I haven't looked at the feeds in the past hour, so something may have changed. But last I saw, it was looking like that they were going to go through with this supposed Final Four deal with Mark and James and Marissa and Ross and hold up that deal at least for a week. And they were going to vote to evict Brandy. And I'm just sort of waiting to see, like, does Omarosa find out about this tonight? Has she found out about it already? If so, how does she feel about it? And because she still has, look, she's still the HOH.
Yeah.
She still has plenty of power. Like, what are you doing? Like, you
there's no veto yet. Yeah.
Right. That's the thing that we were talking about this earlier. The fact that there's so much time for these nominations to really set. So people are panicking a little bit. They're starting to make plans, even though those said plans may not be relevant given where the nominations are after the veto ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Brent, how about this? What if Marissa wins the veto like she did last Monday? Would she take Ross off the block?
She said she would when she was talking to Ross about it. And I can't remember if she told Omarosa or not. I think she told Omarosa she might leave him the same, but I know she would definitely use the veto and take Ross off the block. So he's got one person in his corner, and I think he's totally capable of winning the veto himself. So, he's got a fair shot at staying. Even if he's on the block, I still think he might stay.
Okay. So a lot of intriguing scenarios going into Monday night. Anything else from the feeds you want to touch on, or should we take these last couple of questions?
We can take the last few questions. I'm scanning the chat to make sure that
Yes, and Stacked in the chat room says that that they are going to find out before the competition what veto they're playing for.
Okay, yes. That's what I thought.
Sounds good. That's good. Better game, I think.
Okay. All right. Edmo Rosa says, is Omarosa the most calm person? Ian, would you say that Omarosa is the most calm person there is?
In the house, or that there is? I mean, that's a different answer. I mean, I think that she has a lot more composure than like 2004 for sure. Like, there's not like outbursts or anything like that. It's been very on the level, very mellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, Meta tried to leave again last night, but at this point, I think it's all a sham. I think he's just doing it to try to get people to believe that he's not taking the game seriously. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think he's really trying to leave the house. I think he's trying to make people think that he's trying to leave the house, and thus they don't take him seriously, and he waltzes to the end and wins the money.
Yeah. And as far as Omarosa being calm, Brent, depending on which news reports you believe, she was not so calm in mid-December when allegedly she had to be escorted out of the White House by security.
She says that it didn't happen, though. That's fake news.
And that's the thing, is I feel like she's really, by like her behavior on the show, has actually like backed that up, that it was fake news.
Rob, that never happened. You know, and I know. I would go willingly.
I know. Yeah, I kind of do buy her version of the events. Not that not that the current administration has, shown a great friendship with the truth. But I do feel like that on balance, she probably has at least some credibility here to be able to claim that, she's not going to be escorted out by security after she throws a fit. I mean, there have been times in the house where she could have thrown a fit and she totally didn't. And it's not in her nature to do that.
Fake news.
I don't know what we're saying is fake news. The original report or Brent saying that there's no way she would do it. I don't know. One of them is fake news. One of them is fake news. This is a question from Lee. Does Brent purposely change the theater poster in his background for these podcasts? Yeah, Brent, are you messing with people?
I just like to keep it, lively and fun. And I have like about 30 of them. So I like to show them off because, you know, I don't have friends, Rob. You guys are my friends.
Oh, Brent. Hey, that's so nice to hear you say that. Wow.
I like to show off my stuff. That sounded funny.
Wow.
I like to show off my Broadway posters that I've collected over the years.
Yeah. Mark McGrath said that he would be like to show off his stuff when he was up on that wall, Ian.
I'm going to pass.
Hard pass, Rob.
All right. Gerard, can you elaborate on picking James as the winner of Celebrity Big Brother? Now that you have more time to explain, do you think he's still the most likely to win? Ian, I know. I don't think, let's not put words in Ian's mouth. I don't believe Ian said that he would win, but you felt like he had a great shot to go to the end if he stayed that night. Do you feel like James is the most likely winner?
Currently, no. But at the time, I think that that was a pretty reasonable guess, because I think that one thing we've seen in Big Brother is if they try to like blow you just like completely out of the house, you know, just get you blown out of the water, then if you stay in the first round, you tend to go very deep. Mm-hmm. So just not even based on like a social fitting in thing, not even based on like strategic ability or anything like that, just based on positional aspect, purely what position he was in, that to me would signal that he was probably long for the game.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ian, because I've seen this so many times for people who were the target during the first week, and then people, like, it's almost like they mentally start to process the fact that they're about ready to evict this person, and when it doesn't happen, it's like, oh, well, I've already done that, even though they really didn't. Like, they never, ever evicted the person during week one that they thought they were going to evict. But mentally, they sort of just, it's just, there's no desire to fulfill that initial instinct anymore.
Well, I also think that part of it is because usually with that person, you know, being safe or winning the votes or whatever means they use to get out of it, right? Then something major had to have happened that would cause like a major shift in the direction that the game has gone. And it usually means shifting attention away from that particular person.
Yeah, so I would agree.
That's why I would say that that's a really reasonable choice.
And I always say that the people who, like if you're saved from the block and if there's a big house flip or something, it's always the betrayers, the people who flipped who are going to be the target of animosity. The person who was sitting on the block who didn't vote, there, no one's going to be looking at them anymore because they didn't betray anybody.
Yeah,
exactly.
And a lot of times, as we've discussed, like with the Big Brother 2 situation, it's more of a, you know what, this person who had power in the beginning, a revolt against them more so than what the person who was saved on the block is doing or not doing. And then that person who had the power early is becoming the target. And so there's a little bit of a jujitsu type reversal going on. A couple more questions. This is from Richie, who says, why are people overlooking BB18's Pauly's 14 letter spelling comp word sustainability?
It's not
16 letters.
Well, I mean, Shannon's was 16 letters. And not only that, it was literally, it wouldn't, like, another letter wouldn't fit up there. She even had to, like, overlap them a little bit in order to get it off. So I thought that was great. Having said that, I don't remember him spelling that out. Does he even know that word?
Before I went on Big Brother, my brother Cody told me, learn all the long words to spell them in the first veto competition.
Chat room, did he really spell correctly sustainability? I don't. That seems like fake news to me.
Fake news.
I remember him winning that, yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember that was the word, but I think I would have been that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been. That was Victor's first.
Okay.
That was the week that Victor went the first time.
All right. Johnny DeSavera, has anybody in the BB celeb house come close to figuring out what the power of veto twist is? I mean, they explained it on the show, what the actual, the ups and downs of it. Brent, do you feel like that they have a good accounting of what the powers are, or they're just sort of like their heads are spinning?
Well, there's a couple of fans of the show in the house, obviously Marissa Ross. The Diamond Power Veto has been discussed. And I think that also like the double veto from Big Brother Canada where you have to take two people off the block. That one's been discussed. I don't know that they've discussed the VIP because that's a new contraption that's been invented by Big Brother. That's just not on their radar at this point.
Okay.
Well, wasn't there something similar to that in Over the Top, like a boomerang or something like that?
Yes, but Marissa's the only one that I know of that watched BBOTT, and I haven't heard boomerang mentioned, although it's possible I might have missed it.
Okay. All right, let's do one last question here, Scott. This was from Jay. With only 5 episodes left, who do you think, or what do you think the timeline will look like with the 8 players left? If I've had enough of the whole episodes being spent on an HOH competition and nominations, or a 2-hour episode only focused on a veto comp and eviction. Ian, I laid out a scenario at the start of the episode. I thought maybe we would get the one double eviction on Friday. Does that sound plausible to you?
I think so. I mean, I definitely think that they want to have a double eviction night in there because those are always really exciting and usually a highlight anyway. So it would make sense. I think we could have one or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's even possible that we get somebody evicted on Wednesday. I mean, I don't know, but you're going to have to get down to a three.
That's
or
interesting.
Two people.
Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah. They could either do a double eviction on Friday. They could even do an eviction on Wednesday and of an eviction on Friday. So I don't think you're going to have to endure a 2-hour episode with only, taped veto competition and an eviction. I think there's going to be a lot of activity this Friday for sure.
Okay. A lot of movement coming. And then also, Ian, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this home stretch, because usually finale night is like a few days worth of activity going on. That final three is going to be really wacky. I could see them even getting rid of the 3-part HOH competition for that final HOH.
Yeah,
I was thinking the same thing, because I just don't see how they can construct in time.
Yeah, because I don't know how you do an endurance competition and then this big thing in the backyard. I mean, there are episodes on Friday night, Saturday night. So I'm not sure if all those episodes are going to be live or not, but this thing is coming to an end 1 week from tonight. So we got a lot to do.
Yeah,
They might have something
where it's maybe 2 rounds where, all three, like I'm talking about the final three, compete in some HOH competition. Somebody's knocked out, and then the final two go to the next round. Whoever wins that is the final HOH.
Yeah, a little different.
Maybe something like that.
Ian, could you see a final three with an 8-person jury?
No, because even if they gave a tiebreaker option to America, you could. I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess
weird
that
things
would be
happen.
What would have to happen, right?
Yeah, weird things happen with 8. I was going to say that I believe Julie did say that it's get down to the final 2. Like, I haven't heard any rumblings about final 3 whatsoever.
Yeah,
I mean, I know. Well, it's definitely a possibility, but I thought for sure Julie said you have to make it down to the final 2, and you're going to win $250,000. So
okay,
there hasn't in regular, Big Brother US. I mean, Over the Top is a little different, obviously, but there's never been any sort of deviation from Final 2, unlike Survivor.
Right.
Any word on when they might shut off the live feeds, Brent?
I haven't heard, I'm very excited to see this home stretch of Big Brother, because it's just like I'm on speed, Rob. I'm so excited,
yes.
Like everything's moving so fast and so many possibilities. Nothing is set. Literally, I'm looking at the 8 people left in the game, and I'm like, I can really see a path for almost every one of these people to get to the final 2 and potentially win. Obviously, some have more of a chance than others, sure. But I don't think anyone's drawing dead. Maybe Mark, but I think I think there's a way he can win against James. So I think everybody has a chance, which is very exciting.
Okay. Ian, will there be another Celebrity Big Brother?
Tough to say. I think it's possible. I know that part of the reasoning, I think part of the motivation behind this was to be against the Olympics. But I mean, I think it's going pretty well. I think that a lot of people aren't enjoying it. So I think it's definitely possible we could see it again.
Yeah. I think it's been an unquestioned success, Brent. I haven't heard one person tell me, oh my God, Celebrity Big Brother. It's terrible. I tried it and it's the worst and it's so much. Give me regular Big Brother.
Right. Unquestioned success. Ratings have been great. Olympic ratings have actually been down. And I feel like that the celebrities, for the most part, have behaved and have had been really good sports about everything. And so I feel like they really got it right this time.
Yeah, they did it. They were doing good. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's rare in the world of Big Brother when the Big Brother fan base is not complaining too much about stuff. But hey, we still got a week, Brent. Okay. All right. Well, great stuff tonight. Very fun to have the team back together here for a Sunday night recap. Of course, tomorrow morning, get your live eviction night started right. The final Monday of Celebrity Big Brother, Taryn Armstrong is going to be live at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific for that President's Day to talk about the final night of Omarosa's reign. And then Monday night, I will be right here live talking about whatever happens on Monday night once again with you guys. Join us at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:15 Pacific for that coming up on Monday night. And then, of course, I'll be back Wednesday night. I'll be back Friday night. I'll be back Saturday night. And looking like I'll be back on Sunday night as well for Celebrity Big Brother as well. Ian, great to see you back here. Follow Tulane Terry on Twitter.
Sounds good to me. Definitely definitely can use some more follows.
Yeah. What are you up to these days, Ian? You watching anything fun?
I mean, I've been watching The Challenge again, which is different for me, but I've been watching it. So that's one thing. I'm a little embarrassed to say that I'm like 26 and watching MTV, but, you know, here we are.
Yeah. How's the backgammon going?
Backgammon's good, actually. Backgammon's real good.
Okay. And Brent, how's the RuPaul's Drag Race wrap up?
It's going great. We released a recap from this Thursday's episode earlier today with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris. You can find me at One Lucky Gay, one spelled out, across all platforms. And we also did something really cool earlier today with, it's a bunch of people. It's a cast of thousands, Rob. Or the newly host game. It's basically a spinoff of the newlywed game. They picked pairs of people who host shows together. And me and Liana Boris from RuPaul's Drag Race took part with other hosts from RHAP and played the newlywed game. And you'll see how it turned out.
I can't wait to hear it. I was invited to come on with Stephen Fishback, and I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to fit this in Stephen Fishback's schedule. I won't be able to book him for this.
I would have protested because you know, I don't want to play against the boss. So come on.
Well, okay,
let's be fair.
All right. Can't wait to hear it. Be on the lookout for that. All on robiswebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes. Have a great night. Bye.